there all the time, we take him for granted, you know. Click our fingers and show up, God. And God's desire is for us to hunger and thirst for him. To seek and you shall find. You know, and sometimes if we think we can just go without seeking and just find, you know, I think sometimes God wants us to chase after him. Because he loves the seeking. He loves the process. And I think sometimes, like I just want to say for you, Angela, was it? Angela, sometimes when you feel like God's a million miles away and you don't know where he is, he's saying, hey, why don't you come and hunt for me? Why don't you come and look? And sometimes when we want him to just be there, we feel like he's not there, but he's actually trying to take us to a new level. And, you know, like when you watch the Olympics like they're on at the moment, you know, these guys that hit the wall sometimes around the back straight, and then they've got to push through, and they suddenly come into a second wind, you know, and it's like they come into a new level. And I think the same is true for us in our relationship with God. If it was always easy, it wouldn't be a seeking. It wouldn't be a chasing after. And I feel like God would say to you, Angela, don't be concerned if sometimes it feels like your prayers aren't being answered straight away. Because there's a time frame to God that's different to ours. You know, he knows the ends from the beginning. And it's really important for you to just trust him, you know, and not be concerned with the length of time of things. And you might say, well, that's nice for you to say, Pastor. You're not the one who's in the pain of... Well, I've had pain plenty of times. And, you know, I've not understood sometimes the processes and timings of God. But, you know, in the end, God always comes through. And then you go, ah, now I understand. Now I can comprehend. So I want to just give you a couple of words that just talk about... Just going further in God and resting in him and remaining secure in him. And so let me just give you a couple of words here. Psalm 63 verse 1 says, My soul finds rest in God alone. Rest secure in him. Psalm 91 verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place of rest that God's wanting to bring you to. Not, you know. And if you don't see the answer straight away, stop, don't strive, just learn to rest. Jeremiah 6:16, you will find rest for your soul. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, my grace is sufficient so that Christ's power may rest on you. His grace is sufficient. You know, Angela, there's times where you have just pushed and pushed to try and make things happen. And God would say, just back off. And, you know, when the heavens are as brass, the best thing you can do when the answers aren't coming is learn to rest and rest secure in a God who knows the timing of things. The other thing I want to just share is a picture of a. As I was praying in preparation for coming here, and I think this word's for you. It was concerning it was like a magnifying glass. You know, when you look at things, and you look through a magnifying glass, and through a lens, they blow things up, make things bigger than they actually are. But you can also turn it the other way around and it can shrink things down and they look smaller than they actually are. And I felt like God was saying, in this whole process of you learning to rest in him, it depends which lens you're looking through. Because the lens of yourself tends to blow things up more than they are. And you've been concerned because things seem so big. And God says, well, just here, look through my lens. And suddenly it shrinks down. And, you know, the learning to rest is learning to see things from God's perspective rather than your own. And I don't know what situations you've been going through or if there are things, Angela, that you have been facing that have been, beyond you, beyond yourself. But God would say, change the lens. Look at the things through my perspective. Because if you blow things up, that's what fear does. It magnifies things. But faith shrinks things down. 1 John 4:18, perfect love will in fact cast out all fear. And Nehemiah 6:8 was a verse I used with someone else tonight as well. So it says about things that we make up in our head. You know, just relax, take the pressure off yourself and trust in God, rest in Him. Don't try to overanalyze and examine things too intensely. Walking with Holy Spirit is about learning that He is in control, that larger hands than yours are determining your destiny. Don't fear the terror that comes by night. It says in Psalm 91, verse 5. Don't allow things in darkness to overwhelm you. Change the lens. Hebrews 12:2 says, now fix your eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So, Angela, the words that I'm feeling for you tonight are about perspective and about the things that happen. Sometimes when you feel like God's not answering, you tend to want to turn the lens and it magnifies the issue. And God's saying, whoa, just back off. Learn to rest in me, trust in me, and you'll see some things happen in a way that are about my timing rather than your own. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've been going through some stuff, have you, at all, that this makes sense to you? Can I pray for you? Why don't you come out the front here? And let's extend our hands out towards Angela as well. This woman, Lord, you just love her so much. Oh, you love her so much. You're concerned for her. And Lord, when sometimes the heavens feel like brass and like the prayers aren't getting through, just teach her that new place of rest. And when everything within her is busting to get out of the hiding spot and to reveal herself, say, here I am, here I am. Help her to just rest and stay quietly, waiting for you to find her and her to find you at the right time. I pray for things that have been amplified in her world and in her life, that have been got out of perspective. And Lord, you just bring them back into perspective. Help the lens to turn around the right way. Lord, I don't know this lady at all, but you know her better than she knows herself. And now, Holy Spirit, just come upon her and give her a profound sense of peace. In Jesus' name. Let her just know right now that things are under control. They're in your timing. In Jesus' name. Help her to rest in you. And that far from this being a position of irresponsibility, it's actually taking the pedal off, trying to be responsible herself, trying to make things happen, and just trusting you, Jesus. Boy, I just feel the presence of God on you. Do you feel that? Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit. You're going to find some amazing new adventures in God. There's going to be some things uncovered for you, things you're going to discover and see that you've been longing for, that have been hidden till now, but they're going to become revealed. And in that process, you're going to just grow in your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He's going to draw you to Himself and you to Him. Father, just take this lady to a new level in you, I pray in Jesus' name. I commit her and her family to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. For the lady just here with the pink top on, can I just, is it pink or, I don't know what colour you describe it, musk? There are sometimes, again, it relates to the same thing as of timing. But you know, sometimes when we don't feel like things are happening, things are just, they're not happening, they've just gone into hibernation. It's like right now, you go outside and you look at the much of the plant life, it's gone into dormancy. Trees have lost their leaves. Things are happening though, nonetheless, under the surface where you can't see them. Because they're preparing right now for spring, when there's going to be an amazing growth and development. But it's like things are being shaped within them and they're being positioned for that which is ahead. And it's really important, as it is in nature, it is in your nature, that those seasons where you feel like things have gone dormant, nothing's ever dormant in God. But there are seasons. And you need to recognize that there are seasons you go through in your life. That not everything is about full bore growth and fruit. That the fruit is first fashioned and shaped by those things that are happening right now in a season of winter where the tree is putting its gaining itself ready for a new growth spurt, new positioning. And I feel like God would say that into your heart and life as well. There's a season of restoration that you're in right now that's restoring something that is going to be fantastic. And it's going to allow you to see the realization of some of the things you've been hoping for a while. Psalm 62:1 says, your soul finds rest in God alone. So that's the same notion as for Angela. Don't try to, you know, we get so quickly ahead of the Holy Spirit. We find that, you know, that imagery ahead of the guys walking across. You know, we rush ahead of God so often. We're impatient. And God's saying, whoa, 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 just rest. Rest in me. Isaiah 40 verse 31 talks about mounting up on the wings of eagles, that your strength will be restored and you'll be like a young person again. And it's like something is being, I just see over your life, something's being energized, something's being created that's going to give fresh momentum to who you are and to your life. Ezekiel 36, 26, a new heart and a new spirit are placed within you. 1 Peter 5:10, and he himself will restore you and will make you strong and firm and steadfast. So I want to speak those words over your heart and life this evening as well. That God is at work, and what may seem like the winter is not a winter at all. It's not winter in the sense of nothing happening. There's heaps happening. That's positioning you, shaping you. So far from you getting agitated, learn to rest right now. Does that make sense to you? Yeah? Can I pray for you as well? What was your name? Rhonda. Nice to pray for you. God's good. He knows you so well, Rhonda. He knows you better than you know yourself, Rhonda. We thank you, Father, that Rhonda is in the seasons of God. So, Rhonda, what might seem sometimes like a winter is hibernation period, but something's being shaped and getting ready for spring, and there's things going to come out of hibernation that's going to cause a new life to flow. Now, Holy Spirit, I speak that over her in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just come and allow, Lord, a new sense of rhythm to evolve in her life. It doesn't cause her to just try and make things happen all the time, but helps her to rest in you and to understand that rest is not a lack of things happening. Rest is allowing things to happen that are happening under the surface. And I thank you, Lord, that for those things that we may not observe directly, even in our own lives, and others may not observe, but you're at work in her to will and to do of your good pleasure. And Holy Spirit, in the timing of God, let this woman come into a great season of fruitfulness, I pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift off her all the sense of trying to make things happen herself. I lift off her agitation, anxiety and fear. Those things that cause her to try and rush ahead of you at times and at other times lag behind you. Lord, let her instead really understand the moving of the Spirit in her life and to walk in step with the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Bless this lady. In Jesus' name. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Just fill her again. Fill her with the peace of God. Fill her. Fill her, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Holy Spirit's really touching your life. It's wonderful. Elijah, can I just, it was nice having lunch, dinner with you today. I just want to share a word for you, and I think it's for your family as well. But it's particularly for you. I feel like there's a bridge being built right now. It might seem like a period of peace and quietness, but that's when you build bridges. It's hard to build a bridge in the midst of a storm. But when the bridge has been built and it's been built well, then when the floods come, you've still got a way of getting across. And I feel like God is saying there are things that might seem to be happening in your life and things are calm and quiet, but he's building something in you that for your family is really important. That for you together, when and if a storm should come, instead of you being swept away, you'll still find a way across because things have been built in this season. So, you know, it's really important to take the time that is there right now and allow God to build something in you afresh. And as it's being built in you, it'll affect your family. And I just see you as like a bridge for your family to walk across. And the things that are being reconstructed in you and put down, it's like piers are going down into the river. And things are being built in the calmness of water. And then suddenly I saw the picture was one of a, almost like a storm surge coming through or violent rains that have happened up in the mountains. And suddenly the river's raging through. But the bridge stood strong. And the family was able to walk across it. And I feel like there's things that are for you. And I'm not talking about disaster coming because, in fact, this is the opposite. This is about things being fashioned and shaped in you, Elijah, that will provide a safe haven for your family, but also for others to walk across. So things are being shaped and fashioned. Let me give you some verses. 1 Peter 1:13 talks about preparing right now your mind for action. In other words, this is not a time to be sitting around doing nothing. This is a time for action. This is a time for things to be built and be created. Matthew 3:3, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. It's like there's things being fashioned and shaped right now for you that God would want you to. This is road building, bridge building time. There's things being constructed in your life. There's things being shaped and fashioned that are going to be important for the years ahead. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So Holy Spirit already knows. He's preparing in advance for that which is going to come up ahead. So people might look at you a bit like they looked at Noah and said, what on earth is he building that boat for? People might look at you and say, what are you doing those things for? Building a bridge? When it doesn't, we don't need bridges here. It's calm. You can walk across this creek at any time. But it's like God's preparing something for the future. And people, as they said at Noah, I looked at him and said, wow, this guy, he did understand what was coming up. He knew, he had a word from God. And I feel like there's a word for God for you today that says this is the time for building things into your world and life for the future. And it's going to provide a bridge for your daughters, a bridge for your wife, and a bridge for your families and others to walk across. So don't see this as a time where you can just kick up your heels and sit back and relax. This is actually the building time right now. This is a season for construction and for fashioning and shaping your spiritual life for that which lies ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying? 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, be prepared in season and out of season. And so be ready for what lies ahead, Elijah. Does that make sense to you? Can I pray for you too? And why don't you bring your wife forward as well? And we'll pray for you as a family, because I felt this was a word over you both, but particularly for you. I'm right, it's Elijah, isn't it? I said it right. Good. Yeah. Father, thank you that you know what lies ahead for us. And right now, I just speak into this man's life, not a dormancy, not a just a sitting back, not a just relaxing in easy times, but this is the time to start construction. This is the time to start building. This is not a time to sit on the porch with your feet up and watch the world go by because it's peace. Now, this is the time where you prepare for what is ahead. Because a great time of building is here for you. And in this building, it's preparing you for a season ahead for your family and for you together, for your daughters, that when others would not be able to know the way across, you will have created a way across. When others would stand on the shore thinking, how can I get across this raging torrent? You will say, well, I've built the bridge. Well, why don't you come across as well? There's going to be other people who will benefit from what you have constructed and created in your world. And so, Lord, I speak into this man a building spirit. Lord, it's easy for us to build and respond to crises. But how much wiser is it when we can, in peacetime and in times of just to gain the focus that's needed for the future. And Lord, as you prepared Noah to build an ark for a time of flood, help this man, as it were, spiritually speaking, to build a bridge for a time when the seas, when the waters will rage. That he will find calm amidst the storm. Thank you, Lord. And we think of that verse as well, where Jesus, you were in the boat, and the storm was raging all around. But you didn't look to the storm. You looked to your Father. And it's important for you to remember who's in the boat with you, Elijah. And remember who's the bridge builder. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. I pray for this couple, Lord. I pray for them as a couple. I pray for them and their daughters. I pray for them and their extended families. I pray for many, Lord, that need to walk across the bridge in the years ahead. Help them to build something that will be strong enough to support many. Lord, I pray that it will be a bridge that brings honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray blessing on this couple. Pray blessing upon their daughters. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that when there is a torrent of circumstances and situations underneath them that could easily have taken them, they will stand above those situations. They will rise above them and, as it were, stand on the bridge that has been constructed that keeps them safe and secure in the times of tempest and difficulty. I speak that release over their hearts and lives now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, give great wisdom to Elijah. Show him what he needs to build. Let him not waste his resources on construction that's unnecessary. Let him not build things that are just for the glory of man. Let him build something that's for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless my sister. Help her to support him in this. And help them, Lord, to just... I just see that through your lives there are going to be many others that are going to be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Does that connect with you at all? Yeah? Whew! Hallelujah. Bridge builder. God bless you, sister. Yeah, great. Hallelujah. Underneath Australia, most of inland Australia, there is a huge underground lake called the Great Artesian Basin. They say it's one of the greatest water supplies known to man. And of recent year, in the last, some months ago, they discovered another whole layer to it. Like it's another sub-artesian basin. And they say there's enough water there to supply the needs of agriculture, potentially to feed the world for the next 100, 200 years. There's a whole article that's been written recently by one of our agricultural scientists in the CSIRO that's been talking about developing inland Australia as a major food bowl for Asia. And they say it's possible because we have almost year-round growing seasons within inland Australia and pristine desert soils that are incredibly fertile because they've never been leached by anything. And that you can grow almost anything all year round. And there's been big discussions that are starting to happen about making Alice Springs, actually, a major international airport to freight in and out vegetables and all sorts of orcharded fruits and stuff. It's going to be interesting to see what the next few years of Australia looks like. But increasingly, we're becoming a global world and things are being shipped everywhere. We already know the transformation that's happened up in the northern parts of Australia with the Ord River scheme and levels of production that are happening up there. So, you know, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? That this, the driest continent on the face of the planet, actually has the greatest reservoir of water underneath it. That's probably no one in any place. They say most of the water for my Elijah, my Papua New Guinean brother, most of the water actually falls over New Guinea and comes down through the river systems and is absorbed in the substrata and comes out under Australia through the Torres Straits and into the Great Artesian Basins. And because that's where all the rains falls in the north. And we know that it all comes down through. Now, the point of it is this. Welcome. She says, don't let me go without my bottle. Says, oh, is that not a bottle? No, that looks like detergent. Don't let her drink that. She'll be blowing more than bubbles. Was that yours, Angela? What's the point of that story? That which seems arid and dry actually isn't that. And, you know, all across the Australian outback, you'll see these. If I turn it on, I might be able to move it. Don't you? And it's funny, when I was in Sri Lanka just recently, I showed them this slide and I said, do you know what that is? And they said, oh, it's a windmill. I said, well, what does it do? And one of them said, oh, it catches the wind. I said, yeah, that's right, it does catch the wind. What do they do with the wind? And one of them said, oh, they make wind. I said, no, they don't make wind. Because they've got no notion, really, in Sri Lanka of lack of water. Because there's water just everywhere, you know, just, you know, to the fact that you have to pump up water. And so, you know, and I said, well, these actually pump up the water. This is what it's about. And it's a great spiritual analogy, actually, of what Holy Spirit does. His Holy Spirit causes us to tap into something that is there in the reservoir of our spirit that is huge and enormous. And I've thought this thought for tonight. If you don't remember anything else, just ask yourself this question. Am I forever trying to top up, or should I learn to open up? What I mean by this is, you know, I just observe so many Christians running from one place to the next trying to top up their lives, going where they perceive the anointing is, going where they perceive it's all happening. And so they'll stay at a place for a while until they don't feel like it can top them up anymore, and they'll rush to the next spot. when really the challenge is not so much a topping up, bringing it in from outside in, but as from bringing from the inside out. That the challenge of our Christian lives is discovering this treasure which is hidden in this earthen vessel, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of us. Inside you is this huge reservoir. And it's Jesus himself. Well, I'm a bit excited about that. You know, I don't think I've begun to scratch the surface of what I can potentially still access in Christ. You know, that all what Jesus did, he said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father which is in heaven. Why? Because when he went to his Father in heaven, what was he going to do? Send Holy Spirit. And it wasn't, you know, there's two levels at which that word can make sense. One is that we actually will do more even than Jesus did, which seems unbelievable to me. But I don't think Jesus actually tapped into all that he could do in the 3.5 years he had here. You know, we think that Jesus' life was amazing, and it was. But he was the creator God. Look what he did in 7 days. He created the world and the universe and just spoke the word. You know, Jesus was actually, in a sense, confined by his own humanity. When I say confined, he chose what and what not to do. But there's probably many more things he could have done than we actually have recorded. And in fact, it says that there were many more things that were done than were recorded. You know, the rest of this, there wouldn't be enough books written that said to contain all that he could do. So, you know, in that sense, greater works than these should do, because Christ himself could do greater works. But the other thing is, we said before, how much of Jesus do you have? 100%. So right now, how many Jesuses are here? 40, 50 of us? Huh? So immediately, just in this group, potentially, we could multiply the effectiveness of Christ 50-fold. See, Jesus in his humanity sacrificed. In Philippians it says, he became obedient unto death, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself. Now, he reduced himself from being the God of all creation to taking on human form, which meant what? He could only be in one place at one time. He could only move around as he did in Galilee. He could only just access the people that came into his world. But when he became Spirit again, and when Holy Spirit, Jesus, became reproduced in every believer, where is Jesus today? In millions of Christians who all have a treasure that's hidden in here. What could be accessed? What could this church look like? What could the impact of this place be if we walk out every Sunday having been opened up again to the full consequences of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we walk out with that? I'm a bit dissatisfied with where I see church at. I'm sometimes frustrated by what I see in my own congregation. And I want people to just change their mindsets. You know, there's some people who just seem to boast of the Spirit in their lives, but their lives don't match what in fact they're saying. There's people who speak about all that is the Holy Spirit in their lives, and yet when you look at their lives are a lie. And there's inconsistency between what they say and what they are. And Pastor Chris and I have probably got many examples we can give of people that have been in our churches and congregations who full of all the right talk but don't live the right walk. And you know, it's frustrating because it debilitates what the church can and should be. There are others in the church who continue to have a huge theoretical knowledge of it all, theological knowledge, but it's never actually practiced or embraced. So if I say Christ is in all of you, how much of Jesus is in all of you? 100% pastor. But do we really understand or comprehend the fullness of what is that treasure within us? I don't think we do. We have a scholarly knowledge of it, a biblical understanding perhaps, a theoretical construct. But practically? You know, the third response is for some of us, as we think about Holy Spirit, is that we just choose to ignore him. It's all just too hard. He's putting his finger on things that we don't want to change or deal with. We're much more comfortable. We just stay like we are, like I said before. That God of comfort has got us. And we're just prepared to just accept mediocrity as the way it should be. But on a rare occasion, you come across those people who have tapped into something, who you look at and their life has been opened up. And you just sense within them this river of living water that just is falling out of them. And I have met a number of people in my life who are like that, and I just go, you know, they're just so consistent, and I often blow their own trumpet. They're not often saying things, but they're living out of the river of God in their lives. And it's like this continued sense of his presence. And, you know, we might describe them as saintly. We might describe them as holy. But that's where I think God wants to take us, is into a place where what we are in private and what we are in public are one and the same thing. And where we're not determined or influenced by situations and circumstances, but we rise above them by the power of the Spirit. And where we're not inconsistent in the way that we live and speak, but we're the same in private as we are in public, and where we give glory and honor to God in everything that we say and do. So, where is the presence of God today? Well, we know that in the Old Testament, he was constrained to the tabernacle. And the presence of God was something that was only ever entered into on rare occasion by the high priest. Once a year, he could go into the Holy of Holies. The presence of God hovered over the holy place, the Holy of Holies, rather. It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And in Exodus, it talked about the whole elaborate process that they had to do there in the passage that I've put up there on the board. Of making sure that the glory of God, the presence of God, was kept safe and secure in the Ark of the Covenant behind the screen in the Holy of Holies. But something amazing happened at the moment Jesus died. And that was the rending of the temple curtain. At that moment, that which had been hidden suddenly became revealed. And where did the glory of God go? Did it stay in the Holy of Holies? It came out. And where did it go? It went out into the believers, into you and I. It became part of what was now the new covenant. Matthew 27:51, it says, and at that moment the temple curtain was ripped in two, top to bottom, and a whole new way of connecting to the presence and power of God was about to come. Instead of it being sacrificially accessed only once a year on behalf of all the people by the high priest, now, guess what? Every believer could experience the presence of God for themselves whenever they wanted to, whenever they needed to. And so the presence of God is now in the believer. And Jesus alluded to this in John 14:17-20, and I've mentioned this verse a number of times already. The Spirit of truth, you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. And on that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. I don't understand it, guys. I don't understand fully what this presence of Christ within me looks like or is. It's a mystery. Don't you feel that a bit? It's an absolute mystery. That Jesus is actually living in me. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to tap into you. Help me to tap into all that is the amazing resource that's been given to me. Help me to open up to that river. Help me to, Lord, allow that which is your presence to just bubble forth from me. And I want to pray for us tonight as a church and for us as individuals that something would be released over our lives afresh that would allow this to happen. Because I'm tired of mere talk. And I want to see more of what God can do through a church like this. And you know, and I as I was preparing for this, I was saying, Lord, what do you want to say to these people? And he was saying, we so often try to direct the Holy Spirit. We try to use the Holy Spirit almost like a commodity to meet our needs. The picture that I had was of Simon the sorcerer. Remember in the story where Philip has been preaching and signs and wonders are accompanying, and he says, I want what you've got. And he offers him money, as if you could buy the power and presence of God. He wanted to trade in it. He wanted to add it to his bag of tricks. Is that what we're on about? You know, the Holy Spirit here tonight wants to authenticize this church and its mission and purpose to this community, and that we would start to function more and more. I wrote down here, I'm tired of mere talk. We want to see God more and more. You know, one of the temptations, one of the things as well that I write down here is that when we have all the answers, why should the Holy Spirit give us the answers? We think we're so smart in our culture. We think we can do it all in our own strength and understanding. We think that the answer is in all that is the sophistication of our educational world. Why should Holy Spirit give us answers if all we do is rely upon ourselves? The challenge for us is to say, God, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I need to decrease, not increase. I need to let more of your Spirit come through me. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me. So, you know, when we look at humanity, they continually are chasing after impartation. You know, there's a picture of Mecca. We have our Meccas. We may not go millions strong like that there, but we rush off to this convention or to that convention. We go to our places where things are supposedly happening. Whereas things should be happening within our hearts, within ourselves, within where God is. And the catalytic environment isn't some selective space or place. It is in you, the hope of glory. So you received an impartation. You have received an anointing from the Holy One. The anointing remains in you, John said. You don't have to chase after it. It's in you. The anointing of God, the presence and power of God is here this evening in every believer. Lord, release your presence and power through us. Help us to tap into all that is your presence and power. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains now in you. So how do you tap into this? Let me just encourage you tonight. There's a number of things you need to do. Firstly, you need to change the view of the presence of God. It's not out there somewhere. It's right within you. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Secondly, you need to change the view of yourself. You need to realize the inheritance that you've received in Christ. Change your view from that of being a pauper to that of being royalty. Imagine if you know, $1,000 was put into your bank account every day. How many of you could handle that? Be pretty cool. Imagine if it was 10,000. But what happens if you just left it sitting there and you did nothing with it? You could be just as poor as you ever were. You don't need to access that wealth to make it of any value. And the Holy Spirit has been placed in your life and mine But many of us just sit on it. We never access that wealth. We don't open up to the Spirit of Christ. We allow ourselves to go on with the same problems, the same issues, the same challenges that we've always had. And we think that that's Christian, normal Christian living. So we pay lip service to it, but we forget we're actually royalty, and our status has been changed from that of being a non-heir to now being the heirs of Christ, joint heirs of God, that we may share in his glory. And so the resources of heaven are now at our disposal, and we can lay hands upon the sick and they can recover. And we can start to move out in all that is the dynamic and power of God through our lives. Do you want to open up to more of that tonight? Or are we just going to sit here, Pastor Chris, and just believe it in our heads, but never experience it in our hearts? I want something to break loose in you tonight that might help you to take the Holy Spirit into your world in a different way to what you've done it so far. That something would start to become catalytic in your life that agitates you to become an agent of his into your world, and where you start to move and see things happening. In our own congregation, you know, we've just been trying to change the mindset of our people to think of in terms of engaging Holy Spirit as they go. As I said earlier today, you know, what is Jesus doing? Seeing where he's at work in your world, waiting for God conversations and moments to happen, taking the opportunity to step out, breaking loose of fear and our comforts and our own adequacies, and saying, God, what can you do through me? Our pastor, associate pastor Derek, who some of you know, has been taking a bunch of our young people out with him regularly into all the shops and businesses around our the Stirling area, and just simply saying to them, hey, guys, we're from the church up the hill. You may not even realize we were there. We want you to know we're really concerned for you and your business, and we'd love to pray for you. Is there anything you'd like us to really pray for? Because we'd like to believe that things can change for you, and if you've got a need, let us know. Well, most people actually want prayer. Have you noticed that? Most people are not offended if you pray for them. Very few of the people have actually said to them, get lost, we don't want anything to do with you. Most of them say, oh, well, that's really nice of you, thank you. Yeah, well, you could pray for this situation in my family, or pray for this. And they've now got a list, and we've got a Facebook page for our people to access with continued prayer updates and prayer requests for things in the community. It's not an open page, so only the people who are members of it can access it, so privacy can be maintained. But the objective is to start to talk and think about what's God doing in our community, to actually start observing and putting ourselves in a place where we become the catalyst for conversation. And we become, now, we've been doing that now for the last 6 months, I guess, and we've been back to some businesses 3, 4, 5 times, and it's amazing the conversations that are now starting to happen, because we've actually become a vehicle for God's grace and favor to work through. What could this church do to impact your world more effectively? The thing is, we need to not have the money sitting in the bank. We need to take it out and start to do something with it, both for our own lives personally, but also for what we can be and how we can be used in the broader community. Now, our young people are starting to grab this, and they're starting to move out. We had another lady of ours who went along to the New Age Fair in our community. And with three others, they set up a stall where they said they would pray for people and interpret their dreams. I said, you what? Yeah, I said, well, we just thought, well, if they've got dreams, we might as well, if Joseph interpreted them, why shouldn't we? So they just wait on God, and they have these. And another group have, you know, we've got now healing rooms that have been operating through our church, and twice a day on Tuesdays, our church is open for people from the community to come in and just be prayed for. We may never see them again, but there have now been hundreds of people that have gone through those rooms in prayer as we position ourselves to be a vehicle for the blessing of God to move through. Now, I'm sure you've got your versions of what you're doing too, but I just encourage you, step out and use the presence of God, the power of God. What can happen beyond here? Because you're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and it's been given to you. And the third thing, and this is where I want to finish off tonight, tapping into the presence of God means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it says in Acts 1:8, and then you will become my witnesses. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an amazing opportunity for us to start to open up the river of God that's within our lives. Accessing the power of God, tapping into his power, is a product of two things. One is being born of the Spirit, and the second is being filled with the Spirit. And the two analogies that are up there on the board is where we need to remind ourselves of. Jesus talked, first of all, of a well of living water. In a well, you draw the water up. You receive, when you're born again, the Spirit of Christ within you. But there's an effort and an energy that's required so oftentimes in our own strength to make things happen. But Jesus spoke about a second experience, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, where a river of living water would come out of us. And a river flows. A river has its own energy and life. It just is there. You don't have to try and draw it up anymore. And I think many of us slip back into the well experience when we've been given a river experience. And the opportunity is there for us to flow in the things of God. And I want to pray for you now and pray for you as a church that something would break loose over our lives afresh, that would create a river of living water to flow through us. Can we believe for that? And then I want to give, just as we finish off, give a few more words to a few more people. So why don't we just stand to our feet together now? And let me ask first and foremost, if there's anybody here that hasn't yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, would you just come out the front here? Because I'd love to pray with you specifically. In other words, you still know that there's a well experience that you're going through. We don't actually, Matthew, I don't think we need music for a little while. Is that all right? I'd love to pray with anybody who has never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know that you can't speak without supernatural language, the gift of tongues. I'd love to pray for you for that. Is there anybody else that wants to come? Okay. Now, I'd love you to all just start to believe and pray for the Holy Spirit to just fill you. Tap into it right now. Tap into the presence of the Holy Spirit right here. And I say, Holy Spirit, just come, fall afresh upon all of us. And let out of our belly flow rivers of living water. Now, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you will just allow an infilling, a fresh infilling occur right across this auditorium right now. This church has done enough of just trying to make it happen. We can't make it happen. We're done, Lord, with vain labor. And you said, unless you build the house, we labor in vain to build it. We don't want to just work, and try to make things happen in a Martha-type experience. Lord, we want to flow in the river of God where things start to happen out of the baptism of the Spirit and the endowment of power from on high. So come, Holy Spirit, and fall down upon this group of people and let there come a fresh impartation of your Spirit into the Grow Church in Jesus' name. Lord, let there come a fresh experience of Holy Spirit upon each and every life that's here in Jesus' name. Fill to overflowing in Jesus' name. Fill my sister. Lord, let her be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the presence and power of God just fall upon her. And let out of her belly flow rivers of living water. Let the language of the Spirit come out of your heart, my sister. You don't have to think it. You don't have to make it up. It just comes out of your heart. And as you start to speak now, give volume to it. And allow a supernatural language to flow. That's it. It's that simple. Now give some volume to it. Speak it out in faith. That's it. It's right there. There it is. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, feel the presence of God on you. That's His Spirit. So give us some volume, and that's the language of your spirit. They're right there. Fill. Be filled with the Spirit right now. Fill her. Fill her. Let rivers flow out of her. I break everything that's been over her life that's held her back. I break loose everything that's constrained and robbed her. And instead, Lord, you come to give life and to give it in abundance. Let it be her part now in Jesus' name. Fill her. Now speak forth that language in the Spirit. That's it, right there. That's it. Give us some volume. Don't be holding back. That's it. That's the language of your Spirit. Right now, a river flowing through you. Fill her. Oh, fill her. Fill her, Lord. Fill her, Lord. Lord, I stand against everything that's been over this woman's life that has robbed her and stolen from her and taken from her. And instead, I speak the release of God now. Let the river of living water flow through her. Then it just, oh, Lord, use her in an increasing way to touch her world in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Open up. Open up. That's it. Anybody else that needs prayer, just come. Come. Our God never forces Himself on us. That's His nature. He is a perfect gentleman. And our will is our greatest blessing and our greatest curse. Our will can be turned towards God. It can be turned away from God. God has created us with a will. And in you coming forward now, sister, receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit afresh upon your life. In Jesus' name. Fill her. In Jesus' name. That's the language of your spirit that wants to come forward. Let it flow right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a work here right now. Fill her. Fill her. You don't have to speak in English. Or your own language. You can speak in the language of the Spirit right now. But you can't do both at once. So the step of faith for you is to allow volume to come that now comes with words from the heart rather than from your head. Just close your eyes. Now receive. There it is. It's right there. Now allow your tongue and your mouth to form in new words, words of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Shura rara krada da da babudu sindiri ande de de de. Lara ramando stu stara framando. You don't have to force it. Holy Spirit doesn't force Himself on you. He's looking for your will to just be open. Just say, here I go. Thank you, Jesus. Shakramando sadara. That's it. Speak. That's it. Ramando, fill her. Fill her, Lord. Fill her. Fill her with your Holy Spirit and let the evidence be there of speaking in a heavenly language. In Jesus' name. That's Holy Spirit all over you. It's all over you. And let the words of your heart just start to speak forward with words you can't think of. They'll just flow. They'll just flow from your heart. Saramando shakramando tatarababodosandha. In the name of Jesus, I stand against everything that's been stopping this lady from receiving this gift. And let her receive it right now in Jesus' name. Open her. Open up right there. Have you ever spoken in tongues before?
No.
Okay. Here, it's going to happen today. Now, don't think it won't, because it will. Because I think you've been filled with the Spirit a long time ago.
Yes.
But you know what hasn't happened? You've just never released this gift. Now, the way it happens is you have to open your mouth and make sound. But the sound is going to form in words that you can't think up. And the step of faith for you is to allow those sounds to come out of your mouth so you can actually hear them. Okay? And to not be embarrassed, to not hold them back, because that language has been wanting to come out for a long time. It's like a tap that's been closed and rusted tight. And we're opening it up right now, and suddenly, whoosh, out of it will flow. Here it is. Because the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's all over you right now. It's just mechanics. It's nothing to do with your worthiness or God not wanting to give it to you. It's yours. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you. I want more of you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I lay my hands on your throat, just start to speak forward in Jesus' name. Let the words of the Spirit come. They come from your heart, that's it. Allow your tongue to just form new words, S's and T's and U's and V's, in ways that you've never constructed in your mind. You can't make a language up, so this is not you making it up, okay? This is you now just letting a language flow from your heart. Okay? Don't make it hard. Jesus, just, oh Holy Spirit, just come. Give her this amazing gift to worship you with. She needs it so much. Fill her, Holy Spirit. This is her night. This is her time. This is it, Lord. In Jesus' name, you see her desire? Now, Lord, fill her, fill her, fill her in Jesus' name. Shuraramanda diti kasimbiando. Uramando diti kasanda. That's it. Now, just speak it out. Your tongue's trying to do it, but you're trying to stop it. That's it. That's it. Don't say hallelujah anymore. Say the words of the Spirit. See that? That's the words of your spirit now. Just give it some more volume. Fill her. Fill her, Lord. Fill her with his words now. Oh, Lord, just give her such an overwhelming sense of your presence and power upon her life. That's it. That's the voice of your spirit speaking to God. Oh, when we pray in tongues, it says our spirit intercedes with us with sighs too deep for words and with groanings from within. In Jesus' name. Bless my sister. You see that happening? Can you feel it happening?
Yes.
Now just let it go. Don't doubt it. That's it. Now it's like a little language that's just starting. As a baby starts to speak with just a few, just speak it out. And more, the more you practice, the more it'll happen. Now you're a mature Christian. You've loved Jesus for a long time, huh? Yeah. So just... He's given it to you now. He's given it to you. Now you need to just practice it. And just means relaxing and letting the language flow. Just let it flow right now. There it is. You just stop it and start it. It's like a tap. You can turn it on and off. Just let it go. That's it. Lord, out of her flow rivers of living water. Oh, let the power of God just come upon her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ula reyan da deti kasa pramando shosundo. Yora mamanda sikla la baba. Yara, just keep worshiping him. Keep worshiping him there. Shuri yara la mamanda da da babu dosan. Anybody else? Anybody wants re-release? Just feel like there's something that needs being clogged up and you just want to be set free tonight? Then come forward. Ura mando titi kasa prapa. Shundara mando titi kasa mramando didiki. Sora ramando dada kasa pramanda shasandra. Miura ramando titi kasundro. Miura ramamanda sianda. Yeah?
I just need some prayer for some problems. Job situation, maybe some physical and emotional problems.
Who are you going to look to?
God, Jesus.
Okay.
I've already got the answer. To come forward.
Okay, come. Just put your hands up. Say, Holy Spirit, just come right now.
Are you speaking tongues?
Just say, Holy Spirit, just come.
Holy Spirit, come.
And give me the answers to my needs.
The answers to my needs.
Not according to my abilities, but according to your ability.
Not according to my abilities, but according to your
Holy Spirit, you see what he needs now, so fill him, Lord, with all the answers to his needs, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually, in Jesus' name. Just receive right now. Lord, I just speak, Father, the answers that only you can bring over his life, and let them flow right now into him. Let him just know, Lord, that you're at work. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill him afresh with a sense of your enabling. Give him the answers to his needs. Let him receive from you right now, in Jesus' name. Power of God, just come upon him. Lord, transform this man's life by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Stand against, Lord, all that is achieved in himself, all that he tries to make happen. Lord, instead let him feel supernaturally things happening. Supernatural answers, supernatural. Beyond what he could ever do in himself, let him just say, that's you at work, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bless you, mate. God bless you. Just receive from him. How are you ladies going? Hey, how's it going? Yeah, it's all there. You're doing it. Don't be downcast about it. Let the joy of the Lord just flow out of this woman, Lord. I pray, Lord, from the top of her head, Lord, the striving that's been here. Lord, we just put aside all striving and we just relax in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for that which you do. Thank you, Father. Well, it's been great to pray with some of you here tonight. Let's be seated for a little while longer. Ladies, keep in the presence of God there. Just take a seat at the front and just receive. Just keep drinking it in. Soak. Can you turn to Caleb, can you just turn to slide 22? Can you do that? Can you see little numbers there? See if you can click. Yeah. You know, when we pray in tongues, so we need to remind ourselves what we're doing. Who are you talking to? To God. Listen to what it says there. If you praise him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does, for you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. I don't know what you've been saying here tonight, but there's been some stuff going down over your life that God knows. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I don't know how much he prayed in tongues, but I got a feeling he did it a heck of a lot. If he's walking like this with Holy Spirit, he's going, Holy Spirit, why? It wasn't that he was freaky. It was just that he was in partnership. Because when we pray in tongues, it's like there's an amazing hotline to God. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have the gift of tongues, I'd run out of things to say very quick. I would just feel like, what more can I say? I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. You know, just, but when I've got a language, as I said to that Buddhist guy, I said, I've got a whole language. I don't have a little mantra. I can speak. And in fact, I sometimes think God has given me two or three languages. Because I'll get into some areas of prayer and intercession or something. Wow, that was a very different sounding language. Have you ever taped your own language? I have. Sat back and played it and thought, that's okay. That sounds different though. You know, it's like, why not experiment a bit with the Holy Spirit? You know, we had Ian Miller in our church just a few weeks ago. And, you know, he was talking about having fun with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves us to just explore his unique dealings and ways in our lives. And he's your companion. You have fun with your wife. You have fun with your husband. You have fun with your neighbors and friends. Have fun with the Holy Spirit. Make him your partner. Make him actively involved in what you're doing. And see what may happen. Ian told an incredible story. How God's given him the capacity to interpret people's tattoos. So he goes into these restaurants with his mate, who's the evangelist. And the evangelist says to the guy sitting at the desk, hey, you know this mate of mine? He's got a real rare gift. Do you know what it is? He can interpret your tattoos. Do you know what your tattoos mean? Do you want him to tell you all about your tattoos? And then Ian sits down and peels back the layers of the guy's lives from their tats as the Holy Spirit has a bit of fun together with them. And they see things and say things that just cause many times God conversations to just unfold like you wouldn't believe. You know, we need to be creative with Holy Spirit. We need to allow Holy Spirit to just lead and guide us into all sorts of new truth and ways. Not being weird and crazy, but in a sensible way, just exploring the supernatural in a natural way. You talk to God. That's the first and foremost thing that you do. But there's more. The Spirit actually prays on your behalf. So as much as you're talking to God, your spirit is also praying on your behalf. And meanwhile, it says, at the moment we get tired in waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does it. He prays in our pray. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. Oh, God. That gift of tongues is the most amazing gift. You know, don't just see it as a tack on extra. It's something that is for every believer. I'm so saddened when I hear people who've theologized away the gift of tongues through the passage in Corinthians where Paul talks about it being used in both a public and a private context. They don't see it as that. They just interpret it all as in the public context. And Paul's saying, really, he's bringing order. He's saying, if we're going to use the gift of tongues, let's make sure that it's interpreted so things are done decently and in order and so people can understand it in the church in the sense of bringing instruction. But he's also talking there about using it in the context of privately praising God. And when we were just praising God together, why can't we praise God together in tongues as well? You know, it's amongst believers. If there was non-believers here, I'd have to explain perhaps what's going on. Because I want things to be done decently in order. But we can sing in the Spirit and we can speak in the Spirit. And when we do, we speak with our understanding and we sing with our understanding and we sing with our hearts and we speak with our hearts. And the Spirit prays on our behalf. And when we pray in tongues, it empowers our lives. It says it very clearly there in these passages. When you pray in tongues, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the other verse that's there, when you speak in an unknown tongue, you build yourself up. You edify yourself. You strengthen yourself. You encourage yourself. Man alive, when I'm feeling down, the best answer I can give and get is to pray in tongues. You know, use that gift. I have so many people that come into counseling for problems and situations they have in their lives. And I'll sit down with them. One of the first questions I'll ask them, if they're a Christian and committed in our church, particularly if I know something, I say, when was the last time you prayed in tongues? Oh, Pastor, I don't know. It was maybe a few. I said, well, no wonder you got problems. Go and pray in tongues. You might solve them yourself. Why? Because the scripture says, he who prays in an unknown tongue does what? Builds himself up. And like it cleans you out from the inside. It's like a power that's intended to just buoy your life and carry you along. My mother used to call it her spiritual shock absorber. And, my dad wasn't the best of drivers. And there were many a time when she'd fear for her life, I think, driving with him. And she would just start to burst out in tongues. And we used to say, stop it, Mum, it's embarrassing, it's ridiculous. She said, no, it's my spiritual shock absorber. And I know what she meant, because, you know, you could have a lot of fear driving with my dad. And but she would just use this as a way to calm and steady herself through the course of life. You know, and life has lots of bumps. But the gift of tongues can just cause you to edify and build yourself up. So you're riding through with your shock absorbers going. It's lovely to pray in tongues. And it shouldn't be something you just do occasionally. You should do it as often as you can. As often as you can. Okay, I'm going to give a few more words to some people and then I think we'll make it a night, eh? 8:30 we're trying to finish by, isn't it? Can I give a word to this couple here? I presume you're a couple, are you? You can stay there. And one of the words I had while I was preparing for this time, it's a bit unusual. And the word just came in between times. What it meant was that there's lots of things that happen in between times. When you think nothing's going down, there's actually a lot of things happening in between times. And that there are often crises or big moments in our lives, and in between, life seems pretty steady and, you know, steady state. And we fail sometimes to observe or sense fully what God is doing in those times. But I feel like he wanted to say that there is things that are happening in your world, and where there may not be always the big things that are going on around your world, there are things nonetheless that the Holy Spirit is doing and working in. And for you to be aware of his continued presence with you, leading and guiding you. Because he's not off somewhere else. You know, you don't have a God who's disengaged from your life. You have a God who's fully engaged with your life. And in the moments where you may not feel him working or doing things, doesn't mean he isn't working or doing things. Because there's lots of things that happen in the in-between times. You know, like when you're at work, I don't know if you work or have a job, a lot of what you do is routine. And a lot of it's like repetitive and things that you just have done before. And it doesn't feel very spectacular or different. And occasionally there's something new that you do and it's a high point for the day. But, you know, the in-between time is very important, very significant. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. There are things that happen as you wait. And don't underestimate the significance of waiting periods in your life. Because things are happening while you're waiting. You know, when you cook a nice meal, you have to leave it on the oven for a while. And it seems like you want to eat it straight away, but you've got to wait. There's things that are being cooked and shaped. There's things that are bedding down. There are things that are happening. When you look at the ground, when you've planted the bulbs, it doesn't seem like anything's happening, but there's things happening under the surface, within the bulb. Things are occurring in between times. And suddenly there's a popping forth of life. But there's been a whole lot that's been happening nonetheless before that. Psalm 20 verse 4 says, He will make all your plans succeed. And I feel like there's things that you've been waiting for and waiting for and waiting for and saying, how much longer, God? How much longer? And God would say, in between times, I'm still working. Don't doubt it. It's going to come through. Does that connect with you at all? Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, Blessed are all who wait on Him. It's really frustrating sometimes waiting on God. We want Him to act right now all the time. But there's a time frame that we operate on and there's a time frame that God operates on. And God is working all the time. He doesn't just come in at the last moment. He's been working through the moments. And I want you to just be confident that God is working with you in situations in your lives, in your family, where you think nothing is happening. There's actually things going on all the time. Luke 24:29 was the verse that I used before in the context of the Holy Spirit. It said, tarry or wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Waiting is an important part of receiving power. Tarry, wait, linger. You know, so many in our world don't want to linger for things. They want everything now, instant, everything. But the best things in life sometimes take time to mature and develop. You know, when they make a good wine or a whiskey, it sits in the barrel for a long time. Nothing seems to be happening, but actually a lot is happening. Something's being matured and shaped. And I'm making a presumption here, but I think you guys probably make a good curry, do you? You know, when's the curry taste best? The next day. It's as you let things just sit and the taste goes through everything that, man, then it's really, you know, it's the next day. And it's like things are happening in your world where if you just let the Holy Spirit just permeate through the situations and the circumstances, things are happening in the times where it doesn't seem that anything is happening. It's actually a lot happening. Job 37 verse 14, stop and just consider, just pause, wait. Ecclesiastes 5, 2, don't be hasty in your heart. Don't try to run ahead of God. And Psalm 19, 2, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge or to be hasty and lose the way. In other words, the timing of God's really important. Does that connect with you both? Yeah? Can I pray for you? Come. Put your hands out towards these two beautiful people too. I just sense there's just a rich deposit of God in your lives. There's things that have been happening here for you for a long time. And you've been waiting and wondering. Holy Spirit would say, it's all happening. I'm in control. Things that you think may not have been happening have been happening. Things that may seem like they're just taking forever. God says, well, the best things take a while to mature. And I'm just at work. And things are happening and being shaped and formed. And at the right time, they'll come to pass. In between times, maintain faith. Maintain your trust in God. Keep believing in Him. Fill these two with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let them just be so full of God. Let them be so full of the timing of God in their lives. Just conscious that your Holy Spirit is over them, brooding with them there. Oh, Lord, let these people become a real saintly people, because just something of the nature of God comes out of them. Every time people meet with them, they feel like they become calm because they're calm. They become less frantic because they're not frantic. They become at peace because they're at peace. let the Spirit of God just ooze out of these two to the world that they touch in Jesus' name, and bless them. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does that connect with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. John, I just want to give a word to you as well, if you don't mind. Your wife got it, so you better get it too. There's such a pure heart in you, and there's great power in that. I want to just give some verses that deal with that. Psalm 119, verse 9, talks about wherewithal will a young man cleanse his ways, but by taking heed to God's word. Well, you've been taking heed to God's word for a long, long time. And I want to declare over your life a young man's heart, because that's what that word says. Even though you're a senior in years, something fresh can happen in you. It may not express itself the way it has before, and it will certainly not be with the same levels of responsibility and ways that things have outworked before. But in your own heart and life, there's a cleansing that can come. Not only to your own ways, but to the ways of those you touch. Proverbs 20, verse 9. It says, who can say that I've kept my heart pure? And I think you can say. There's something that you have kept that's pure. And I want you to know that that's your heritage in God, to not only you, but to your family and to the generations that are to come after you. Because there's things that, where others could have been tainted, you haven't. And you're passing on a legacy to the next generations that is pure. And you know, out of that purity will come a richness that is yet to be discovered. And people will say, where did that rich vein come from? And they'll say, well, it was from forefathers. It's from those who had mined this mine before. And they had mined it and found only the beginnings, but we found the mother lode. And it's like you have maintained a sense of purity in your own life. And there's things that you have unearthed that are beautiful, but it's like you've prepared the ground for some for others out of the purity of your own life. Philippians 2:5, it talks about the mind of Christ being in you. It says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And I think there are, as we've talked about this whole realm of the Spirit, there are things, John, that God has allowed you to understand and see. You know, don't underestimate what can still yet be imparted through you to others. You know, it may not come with, as I said, the same framework of the past, but the drawing alongside, there's things that are within you, the mind of Christ, the discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. And I would just say that as well. The gift of discernment is there to continue to bring impact to other people's lives. 1 Peter 1:13 talks about preparing your mind for action. You might say, well, hang on, I'm supposed to be preparing for inaction. Well, it's an action of a different sort. It's an action of spiritual warfare and prayer. No one else might see this action, but God does. And the things that you can pray through and believe through and stand in the gap for, that the Holy Spirit will put on you as a burden to pray into and prepare your mind, your heart for action. For an action that is different to perhaps the sorts of actions you've had before. Don't try to just be what you were before. That's really what I'm sensing. Be something that is different, but it's not going to be just sitting around waiting for things to finish up. It's going to be being productive right through to the end, but in a different way. Don't try to make it happen like it was, because it's not going to happen that way. 1 Peter 3:1-2, that they may be won over without words by the purity and reverence of your life. You know, there's people going to be convinced of things because of the reverence of your life. And Philippians 4:7 says, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, I just pray for John. You can stay seated. I'll come to you. Father, we thank you for this wonderful man. Raise your hands out towards him. Father, he's part of the heritage of this church. This wouldn't be here except, Lord, for many of the things you've done and through this man. But, Lord, I speak into his life right now a new direction, a new season. But, Lord, let it not be a season where he's waiting for nothing to happen. Let it be a season where he reaps what has already happened and where he draws, Lord, from a deep reservoir and can impart in ways that, Lord, your Holy Spirit's going to lead him into and show him. Lord, let there come a whole new level of effectiveness in the Spirit. There are things you're going to be praying into, John. There are things you're going to be just... You're going to be in your closet interceding for that. They're just going to be broken in the spiritual realm without any word being spoken publicly, but things are going to be declared spiritually. Oh, Father, bless him in the process. And may he receive blessing. And may the generations that flow after him receive blessing. Lord, I pray that over this church and over those that, Lord, as he has mined here for many years, Lord, may there be others that come after him that go, wow, now we've hit the mother lode, and we thank you for our forefathers who prepared the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Who staked the claim, who set out the boundary markers, who shaped that which is now our inheritance. And we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.